You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
Number 221, David King of Flywire with an exciting AI audio overview. This is Rod Murray. Welcome back to my podcast. I'm happy to report that this episode is sponsored by NEDLA. That's the Northeast Digital Learning Association, NEDLA.org. Today's episode is a podcast interview with David King, co-founder of Flywire, a company that provides software solutions for student financial services. The interview discusses the company's history, evolution, and its current focus on addressing challenges faced by universities, such as the need to automate processes, improve student recruitment and retention, and streamline the student financial experience. David also highlights Flywire's commitment to technological innovation, particularly in the realm of mobile-first design and AI integration. He emphasizes the company's mission to simplify the financial journey for students and parents from enrollment to endowment, including the digitization of 529 payments and the introduction of third-party invoicing products. Speaking of AI, I want to introduce something new this time. I'm going to also show a link on my show notes to an audio overview of our interview based on AI. If you haven't tried Notebook LM by Google, give it a try. Imagine having two AIs listen to your podcast or read your documents and have a lively discussion among themselves. It's entertaining, it's interesting, and they really capture the essence of my 25-minute podcast. But first, without further ado, here's my interview with David King. David, thank you so much for joining me in my podcast today. I really appreciate your time. And where are you physically right now?
I happen to be in our Boston office today. So one, Flywire is a global company. We have 13 offices around the world. I am in our corporate headquarters in Boston, but generally I reside in our Chicago office. So
I see. Okay. So I always like to find out, I really like the how entrepreneurs get to where they are and so on. So why don't you give us a little bit of your background, how you came to be associated with Flywire, and we'll take it from there.
All right. Well, I'll take you on a bit of a higher education journey as part of that. So I founded co-founded a company back in 1997 that was focused on solving problems for higher education. So back then, the internet barely existed, was just beginning to emerge compared to what we know it as today. So what we were doing back then, and that company was called Infinite Solutions. What we were doing back in 1997 was online class registration and paying a student's tuition bill. But when I say online, I actually mean through the phone. So we're doing and building what were called IVR systems, so interactive voice response systems. So the call trees we all hate today. Press one to do this, press two to do that. But it would basically, a student would call in or a parent could call in, and nothing was really real-time integrated back then because a lot of higher education was still running kind of like mainframe systems. They were just beginning to move to what I'd consider modern ERPs today as Y2K was beginning to approach. So you would call in and we'd say, key in how much you want to pay and key in your credit card number. And we would say, success, thank you. And that was basically it back then. And then you would have a modem that would dial out at the end of the day, push all the credit card numbers up to the credit card networks. And then we would wait until the next day to get a response, did it succeed or not, and figure out how to proceed. So I've been in higher education building systems like that for years. What that led to then as we started to approach and the internet started to start to mature, and even then was still very content heavy, a couple of schools, University of Illinois, specifically back then the executive director, Judy Flink, who we were doing work for, came to me and said, hey, this internet thing's starting to grow. Could you take our phone system that you built and make it web enabled? And so that was the beginning of us building tuition billing and payment plan systems on the internet. So back then, Infinet Solutions was the first company to bring that to market. So we launched the full tuition billing payment plan system and on the internet in 2000. That was like revolutionary back then to be able to do a business application on the internet. Roll that forward, and I sold the company off to another company called Nelnet. I was their president of their higher education division through 2010. I decided to go do a few other things. So this is the journey to Flywire. Started up another company to back then called OnPlan. We were focused on modernizing the tuition billing and payment world. I bumped into an old friend named Sharon Butler, who was one of the originals that founded Flywire. Flywire was primarily focused at that time on doing cross-border payments for international students. And they're super successful. And their clients were also asking, can you provide a domestic solution? Can you do the full tuition billing and management for all of our students? And then Sharon and I decided, like, hey, let's combine and solve the entire student ecosystem, right? So I was just kind of focused on domestic. Flywire was focused on cross-border. And we said, like, all students should have the exact same awesome experience, regardless of whether you're international or domestic. And the school should be able to serve you holistically, not differently. And that's what we've set out to do. So
moving forward and seeing what your business must be like now, times have changed. And why don't you just briefly tell me about some of the major challenges that universities have today and what's changed in the past couple of years?
Yeah. So several things, you know, first and foremost, one of the ways we design and build our products is we go into the market, interview a bunch of our clients, prospects, listen to the market on what their challenges are. And that really sets the pillars of what our innovation is going to be for our product team. And we've been hearing a lot of key themes coming from higher education. One of the first one is they got to do more with less, right? So there was kind of the great resignation that was a byproduct of COVID, where a lot of the student financial services staff retired. And then no one's really backfilled those roles. There's been budget cuts. So the student financial services office is basically having to deliver the same level of service, but with a lot less staff. So we have to help automate that, right? Because this expectation from the students and families is high level of service, right? But without the necessary staff, we provide the software to help improve that process, reduce the call volumes coming into the institution so that the institution can really focus on those students that have the real need and have the real challenges, not just the day-to-day questions that can come in. So we're focused on helping institutions do more with less through the automation of our software. The other area where institutions are beginning to face pressure on is pressure on student recruitment and retention, right? Everyone's been talking about the enrollment cliff. And yep. So, you know, one of the things we always like to say and focus on is like the financial journey of a student is just as important as the academic journey, right? And as the market changes, people will be looking at like, how easy is it for me to understand what I owe? How easy is it to navigate my financial experience so that I can move on and go to my academic experience, which is primarily why I'm there, and go and get my degree. So we're focused on helping them solve those problems, like how do we make that financial journey extremely easy? How do we help them with recruitment and retention? On the retention side, it's even dealing with students that may have left the institution due to some financial burden. And so they've left the institution with a balance, right? And so we want to help that school collect on that institution, on that student, but also do it in a friendly fashion versus throwing them off to a collection agency. And we're focused on making education more affordable, too. And we're doing that with our payment plan offering. And I would say that even impacts more so nowadays international students, right? As higher education institutions are looking to address the enrollment cliff, one way to begin to do that is recruit more heavily from international students. So what that means is you're now kind of going downstream in the international student, say from upper class to like middle class, where your upper class international student traditionally had no problem making a massive one-time tuition payment. But the middle class international students also need a payment plan, but they haven't domesticated in terms of setting up a bank account yet. So you need to be able to offer a payment plan that allows them to pay from their country with methods that matter to them. And then we're also working on just, you know, transforming the overall financial experience through modern technology. Most of the systems that are out there, I can claim it from my old system, were built in circa 2000, right? And so higher education needs a technology transformation in this area, and we're helping drive that.
Understood. Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. And I know part of it is certainly the technology itself has probably made it easier or less expensive to do what you do these days compared to the even 5-10 years ago, all the cloud processes and so on. Where does financial literacy come in? Is it an issue now that parents are usually the ones involved, although the students, especially in graduate school, can be quite involved? And how does that present a problem, and how do you go about educating students and parents?
Yeah, so financial literacy is really important topic in higher education for students to understand what they're signing up for, what their commitments are. Our product offers like what we call a financial responsibility agreement. So when the student is coming in, and you can, the institution can configure it, but like what are they really agreeing to when they begin paying the institution? In terms of like overall training and education, that isn't an area we're solving directly yet, but institutions have asked us like, what can we do to help them? So we are researching like what type of education or training tools that we can offer in terms of improving financial literacy, again, both for international and domestic students.
How has the pandemic, how's that affected your operation and what the schools are going through? I know there's a lot of, in fact, my own institution, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. We were a 200-year-old institution, and in fact, I helped them build their latest online systems, but they couldn't really make it, and they eventually merged with another university here in Philadelphia. So it's kind of sad to see some of these old institutions go. There was another Catholic university here in the Philadelphia area that I did some moonlighting with and taught, and they also went under, were merged into a Villanova university. How has that affected your business? You have fewer customers, more demand for different kinds of services. How does that happen?
We haven't had fewer customers as a byproduct of it, though, as you mentioned, you do see some of the smaller private institutions struggling a little bit, right? But from our side, it's drove innovation for us. Again, going back to, you kind of had that great resignation that happened as a byproduct of COVID. Institutions have tightened up their budgets, so schools have to do more with less. And so that's why they're relying on us to deliver that technology to improve the service, allow students to self-serve and answer all the basic questions themselves. I do think it also, you know, forced, as you said in your case, forced institutions to take a look at their technology, right? Because they're forced to go online. A lot of schools were not prepared for that. And as a byproduct, they're thinking like, how do I address and do an overall technological transformation? I need to modernize my systems from the ground up, whether that's delivering online courses to an improved financial experience all the way through, right? And so a lot of institutions are coming to us to help them with that journey.
So it sounds like you've do a lot of custom work. It's not just they buy software off the shelf, so to speak, and plug it in. It sounds like you need to do a lot of handholding with each institution.
So we don't deliver custom software. So I'll roll that back. We do deliver our student financial services software is a product that is configurable. We do business process mapping within the product to accommodate some of the institution workflows. But we do have a standard product offering that we can go in and streamline and operationalize a lot of their student financial services aspects.
What happens when I think 50% students don't graduate from the college they started at? How does that complicate matters? Do they carry debt then from one institution to another? Do they stick with your product? Do you sort of hand off to another kind of financial system when they switch colleges? How does that work?
Yeah, so if a student moves on to a different college, they'll enroll in the new college, and if that institution is running our software, that student will begin paying through us. The best case scenario is the student leaves University A to go to University B and doesn't owe anything to University A, and they just start their journey over. The beauty of that with our software, if both of those universities are running the software, that student already knows, oh, I know this experience. I know how to set up a payment plan. I know how to manage all my account, right? Because they've already had that experience. Additionally, in many cases, what we call our authorized users or parents that help pay for that. If that student had set up an authorized user at University A, that authorized user would just carry over with that student to University B, so the parent doesn't have to do anything new. In a not so good, great of a case, maybe the student leaves University A with a past due debt and goes and gets enrolled into University B. That's where University A can use our collections management software to begin engaging that student in a friendly fashion to get them repay their past due debt without having to send that student to a collection agency, which is just a better experience for that student because collection agency doesn't hit your credit score. You're not having someone that's not associated with the institution calling you. And traditionally, collection agencies will charge either the student or the school somewhere between 20 and 30% to collect on that debt. So it's not a great experience for either. And our software allows institutions to collect in a first party fashion that's friendly and no charge and no credit scoring damage to the student. So what we see for universities that run that is a pretty significant re-enrollment process as well, because it's a friendlier fashion, right? Most students will leave a school with because of some financial impact that hit them in a moment. They correct, they repay their debt in a friendly fashion, and then they can go back to the same institution.
Got it. My wife just attended her college reunion, and of course, they go through a lot of, awards and give them certificates and this, and of course the ultimate goal is to get them to donate. Are you also hooked into the alumni systems since you're about collecting money?
Yeah, as I like to say, we streamline the financial journey for a student from enrollment to endowment. That's my thing I like to say. We have, outside of just what I'd call core tuition and fee, we do a lot of ancillary payments around campus. We have an e-store product, and schools can use that e-store product to set up like a donations page and alumni giving. It's used often for like student services that want to sell t-shirts and things like that. As an example, one of our large customers that runs our e-store product has 650 storefronts set up. So those are like different departments on campus. Each storefront can have a variety of products, and they've got like north of 3,000 products that they're selling through us. So, wow. Yeah. So as I say, enrollment to endowment, will help them with. So
how does it look? What's a typical experience of, I assume it's mostly parents that are going to be using your product, unless maybe the graduate students do it themselves. I know students these days, some of them don't even seem to use a desktop computer. They want to do everything on their phone. Yep. Are the parents getting to that point too, where they want to have that convenience of just doing everything on the phone? Is that something you've seen?
Yeah. So our system, when we design our systems and begin, our work on everything, we always take a mobile first approach, because our assumption is, and we know that the world is moving there. So most people begin designing on the web. We say, what is our experience going to be like on the phone? That's where we start our design. And then we expand. Okay, what's the next? What's it going to be like on the iPad? What's it going to be like on a desktop? And we'll even go as far as to like, what's it like on a PS5 or an Xbox? Because we know that like you see it in our system. I always make the joke at like 2 a.m. you see someone jump on from a PS5, make a tuition payment. My joke is they probably came home from the bar, started playing Fortnite, realized they owed a payment, stopped Fortnite, launched a browser on PS5, made their tuition payment through our system, and went back to playing Fortnite. As an example, but our statistics in our system, we run north of a 50% mobile utilization of people viewing their bills, making payments through us. So,
yeah, interesting. Yeah. Do you update your software on a, you know, a quarterly basis, or something that you put out updates as they happen? How does that work?
Yeah, so unlike the old days of burning CDs and putting them in the mail, and that would happen like at best once a quarter, more like once every 6 months to once a year, we follow what's called continuous integration, continuous deployment processes. So these are modern processes. We do anywhere from, call it, one to probably 10 releases of our product a day. So we're continuously releasing our product, building up features behind the scenes through feature flags with small increments. The benefit of that is it allows you to go from test and to slowly build it up into production and measure it before you're ready to fully release it. Improves reliability significantly. And we do that without the system ever going offline. So we deploy multiple times a day with no downtime. And it just slowly builds up. And then when we're ready to say, publish the feature, it's already been out there for months, and we just turn off feature flags and it's published to the community.
I like the technology behind some of these things. You care to tell us what platform you built on? Is it AWS or some other technology?
Yep. So our core hosting infrastructure is in AWS. So within AWS, you have a region, and then within region, you have availability zones. So we have our production region is what's called AWS East, the East region, and we run in two availability zones there. So in theory, like if my availability zone in the East region 1 failed, I could roll to availability zone 2 in the East region because they are in the region but separate. If the whole East Coast went dark for some reason, as an example, then I would roll to my West region, and in my West region, I have two availability zones too.
Got it. Yeah, you've got all the bases covered. That's the way you do it these days. How has the advent of AI in the past couple of years, how has that affected your roadmap or things that maybe you've already implemented, either as a company or for your product?
Yeah. So we use AI today as part of our help desk. So, you know, as an example, for international payers that are paying through our systems, they will communicate directly to us on behalf of, you know, we'll help support the school. And so we have integrated AI into our help desk. So a student can come into international student, they have questions about what's going on with their international payment or how to do something, do a bank transfer as an example. They can go to our help desk arena chatbot, which is AI powered, will drive the interaction and answer their questions. So that's really helped driven our like overall response time and improve contact rates with our international payers that are coming through. Behind the scenes, without saying too much, we do a lot of fraud monitoring and transaction monitoring and looking for pattern recognitions. And we use AI in a large variety of ways for monitoring our payments in terms of matching, fraud detection, pattern detection, things along those lines.
I remember discussions, from admissions saying, you know, we don't want to see that credit card number. We don't want to see a social security number. That's all on somebody else's system because really take on a lot of responsibility there, I can imagine.
Yep.
Well, listen, are there any other big changes coming down the pike? Any future improvements or products that you want to tout before we sign off?
Yeah. So a couple of things. One, you know, what we was really innovative and revolutionary that we launched just a couple of years ago and is now really gaining traction is we were the first company to digitize 529 payments. Again, we listen to our customers. We have what we call our FAB, which is our Flywire Advisory Board. And several years ago, they came to us and they're like, we love all your other technology. It's great. But they're like, 529 payments are just painful. We just keep getting checks. And not kidding, they took pictures, videos, just showed us people like stacked behind checks or opening them and then manually like updating the student system. And, you know, it was a two-sided problem, which are the kind of problems we like. So it was a problem for the school for the number of inbound checks that were coming in. And it's also a problem for students and parents because through your typical 529 provider, If you're doing a check, you have to know where to mail it. So you don't always know where to mail it to put the mailing address in. And so a lot of times the check would end up somewhere else other than a student financial services office, which then could lead to they never found it and you didn't make your payment and now you got a class registration hold put on. Or it does take time to liquidate a 529 account and get the check in the mail. So if someone that's kind of like notorious a procrastinator, like their students are always getting registration holds because they're trying to make a payment at the last minute, not realizing it takes 2 days typically to liquidate a 529 account and another 7 days for the check to show up, right? So we set out to solve that problem. We've partnered with several of the largest 529 providers, and they've tied into our payment network. And now, if you go into a Flywire partnered 529 provider, you can choose pay electronically. And we
Nice.
digitize that payment and update the student system in real time. Our customers have been like, it's life-saving. We've moved, dispersed over $3 billion electronically. And we've like saved like hundreds of thousands of checks, which is great.
That's great.
Another new thing we are rolling out, we've got beta clients running on it now, and it's picking up a lot of traction, which is another big pain point, is our third-party invoicing product. So this is where there is a sponsor of a variety of students at an institution, Saudi Arabia, as an example. So like some government agency is paying for a bunch of students to go, could be Boeing, could be some large company. And typically the third parties are saying like, I want to be invoiced this way, and I want the students to be line items and so forth. And so it's typically most schools have 2 to 3 FTEs just managing the invoicing of the sponsor because it's the sponsor slash party that's making the payment for all the students and a variety of, and the majority of them are international agencies. And so we've built a product now that is helping automate that entire third-party invoicing and payments process. Again, solving the, it's painful for the third parties and it's painful for the school and solving both sides of that equation.
Very interesting. Yeah, sounds like a great product. Well, listen, been a pleasure talking to you. I learned a lot. And I want to thank you for spending some time with me here today.
All right. Thank you, Rodney. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David. So I hope you liked the podcast. But if you're curious about what two AI bots think about it and how they interpret what we talked about, stay tuned for the AI audio overview of the Flywire interview I just had with David King. I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Okay, so
You're curious about how online systems are really like.
changing higher education, especially when it comes to tuition. And
Yeah.
we've got a fascinating interview.
Yeah, this is with David,
This is a really interesting one.
co-founder of Flywire.
It's a journey that's evolved dramatically, even more so than a lot of industries.
Yeah, from what I've read, Flywire is like.
The ultimate problem solver for universities
That's a great way to put it.
that are trying to navigate student payments.
David's story and really Flywire's
in
story
the digital age.
takes us back to the early days of the internet. Remember dial-up modems and those incredibly clunky IVR
Oh,
systems?
yeah.
For those who might not know, IVR stands for Interactive Voice Response.
Think back to the days of pressing buttons on your phone endlessly to navigate menus.
Oh, I remember those days.
All too well, the anxiety of hoping you press the right number.
And the frustration when you had to start all over.
But to think that was how some students were managing their tuition payments back then, it's almost comical looking back.
David talked about how students would call in punch in their credit card numbers using the phone keypad.
Oh my God.
Talk about a test of patience.
Plus, these systems weren't even integrated with banking systems in real time.
Wow.
Can you imagine the waiting game?
Students had to endure just to find out if their payment went through.
Seriously.
It really puts our modern day payment anxieties in perspective.
Like, my payment app is taking a whole 5 seconds to process. It's a
Exactly.
horror.
It's amazing how quickly things have changed.
And David's company at the time, Infinite Solutions, was right there on the forefront of that change.
Around the year 2000, they became one of the first to develop web-based tuition and payment systems.
Wow.
It sounds so obvious now.
But back then, this was a huge deal.
It really was. Like, just getting a business application online at all was a feat.
Let alone something as complex as managing student finances.
Right.
They were pioneers.
And they didn't stop there.
By 2002, they were already ahead of the curve, creating cloud-based solutions for universities.
That forward thinking is a big part of why they were able to anticipate and meet the evolving needs of educational institutions.
This cloud concept is something that's kind of second nature to us now.
But could you break down why that was such a big deal back then?
Sure. Basically, imagine universities having to manage all of their complex software and data on their own.
On physical servers at their own locations.
Oh my gosh.
It was a huge burden in terms of cost, manpower, and let's be honest, probably a lot of headaches.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Exactly.
But with a cloud, all of that is handled remotely by companies like, well, Flywire.
It's like the difference between having a whole team dedicated to maintaining a massive library of physical books versus having access to a digital library where everything is stored and managed for you.
It's efficient.
Cost effective.
And frankly, the way most software operates today.
It's like they were laying the groundwork for the way we interact with technology today.
And not just in education, but across the board.
Absolutely. But what's also fascinating about Flywire's journey is that they haven't just been focused on the technology itself.
They've really dug deep into understanding the challenges universities are grappling with, especially today.
We're talking budget cuts, staff shortages, and this looming enrollment cliff that's on everyone's mind.
Now, for those of us who aren't knee-deep in the world of higher education,
what exactly does the enrollment cliff refer to?
And why should we care?
Good question. It's a term you're going to be hearing a lot in the coming years.
Basically, it refers to the projected decline in the number of students graduating high school and going on to college.
This is largely due to declining birth rates following the 2008 recession.
So fewer students.
Less tuition revenue.
Exactly.
And with all those other financial pressures you mentioned,
it sounds like universities are going to be in a tight spot.
They're being forced to do more with less.
And that means finding ways to be more efficient.
Which brings us back to how companies like Flywire can make a world of difference.
So it sounds like Flywire is not just simplifying payments.
They're providing a lifeline for universities struggling to adapt to this changing landscape.
That's a really important point. And it's not just about the institutions themselves.
Flywire recognizes that in today's world, everyone, especially students, are pretty much glued to their phones.
They've taken a decidedly mobile-first approach to their services.
Which makes total sense.
I mean, I do practically everything on my phone these days.
But when we're talking about something as important as tuition payments,
isn't there a risk that going mobile-first might be a little, I don't know, too casual?
That's where it gets really interesting. It's not about being casual.
It's about meeting students where they are and empowering them to manage their finances in a way that feels intuitive and convenient.
In fact, David actually shared a pretty funny anecdote during his interview about a student making a late night tuition payment.
From their PS5.
Wait, you can pay tuition on a PS5?
Apparently with Flywire, you can.
Wow.
It just shows how they're not just keeping up with technology,
but actually anticipating how students want to interact with their finances.
It's like they're saying, hey, we get it.
You're juggling a million things.
Right.
Classes, exams.
Maybe even squeezing in a little late night gaming.
We're here to make paying for college one less thing to stress about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But let's not forget that Flywire's expertise goes way beyond just making payments easy.
They've tackled some seriously thorny issues that have been plaguing universities for years, like the often dreaded 529 plan payments.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah.
I remember my sibling trying to navigate those when they were applying for college.
What a headache.
Yeah.
For those of us who might not have firsthand experience with the joy of 529s.
Could you give us a quick rundown of what they are?
And why they've traditionally been so complicated.
You bet. So 529 plans are these tax advantage savings plans.
Designed specifically for education expenses.
They're fantastic tools for families saving for college. But the traditional payment process.
Let's just say it wasn't designed for the digital age.
I'm picturing mountains of paperwork, lost checks.
And frantic phone calls.
You're not far off.
David mentioned how universities used to be drowning in a sea of paper checks from 529 plans.
Oh, wow.
It was a logistical nightmare for everyone involved.
For universities, it meant slow processing times, potential for errors.
And a ton of manual data entry.
And for students and parents.
It probably felt like adding insult to injury. You're already stressed about college applications and tuition costs.
And then you have to wrestle with this clunky payment system.
Exactly.
So what did Flywire do?
They saw this massive pain point and thought, there's got to be a better way.
They went straight to the source, partnering with some of the biggest 529 plan providers to digitize the entire payment process.
So no more checks.
No more waiting weeks for processing.
You got it.
With Flywire's system, those payments are electronic and happen in real time.
It's a game changer in terms of efficiency, accuracy, and, let's be honest, peace of mind for everyone involved.
It's like the difference between sending a telegram and sending a text message.
It's amazing how something as simple as digitizing a process
can have such a ripple effect, making life easier for students, parents, and university staff.
It really highlights the power of looking at existing systems with fresh eyes.
And asking, how can we do this better?
And this brings us to another area where Flywire has really made a difference.
Third-party invoicing.
Okay, so we've covered students paying directly.
And families using 529 plans.
But third-party invoicing sounds even more complex.
Who are these third parties?
And why are their payments so tricky?
It's a good question. And it's more common than you might think.
Third-party payers can be anyone from companies with tuition reimbursement programs.
To government agencies sponsoring students' education.
Or even international sponsors.
So we're talking about situations where someone other than the student or their family is footing the bill for college.
That makes sense.
And while that might sound straightforward in theory,
in practice, it can be a real logistical headache for universities.
Each sponsor might have different invoicing requirements, different payment timelines, different methods of payment.
It's a lot to keep track of.
I can imagine it's like trying to herd cats.
With each cat having its own unique set of demands.
That's a great analogy.
David actually mentioned that some universities even have dedicated staff.
Wow.
Just to manage these third-party invoices.
Talk about a time-consuming and potentially costly process.
Not to mention the potential for errors when you're dealing with so much manual paperwork.
And back-and-forth communication. It sounds incredibly inefficient.
It is.
And that's where Flywire saw another opportunity to step in and simplify the process.
They developed a dedicated third-party invoicing product that automates much of that heavy lifting.
Okay, so walk me through this.
What does it actually look like for a university to use this system?
Well, imagine a streamlined online portal where universities can send invoices,
track payment statuses, and manage all their sponsor communications all in one place.
So instead of chasing down payments and deciphering different invoicing requirements,
university staff can have a centralized automated system. That sounds like a dream come true for anyone stuck in the weeds of third-party billing. It's about creating a smoother, faster, and more transparent process for both universities and the sponsors themselves.
Less paperwork, fewer errors, and faster payment processing.
It's a win-win situation.
I'm starting to see a pattern here. Flywire identifies these major pain points in the student financial journey.
And then swoops in with these elegant, tech-driven solutions that streamline everything. It's pretty impressive.
It really is.
And it goes back to their commitment to understanding the needs of everyone involved.
Students, families, and the institutions themselves.
It's like they're not just building software.
They're building bridges between these different stakeholders in the education world.
What's fascinating to me is how they're not content with simply improving existing processes.
They're constantly looking ahead to what's next.
David even hinted at how they're incorporating artificial intelligence or AI into their platform.
AI in education. Okay, now we're talking next level.
But it makes sense, right? AI is popping up everywhere these days.
Right.
But how is Flywire actually using AI to make a difference in the world of student finances?
Well, it's still early days.
But the potential is enormous.
One of the ways they're already using AI is for chatbot support.
Which, as you might know, is becoming increasingly common.
Oh, yeah. Those automated helpers that pop up on websites to answer your questions.
I have to admit, sometimes I forget I'm not actually talking to a human being.
Right.
And that's kind of the point.
They can provide quick, efficient answers to students' questions 24/7.
Whether it's about payment deadlines, financial aid options, or even just navigating the website itself.
So no more frantic late-night calls to the bursar's office.
That's a huge win for students, especially those who might be in different time zones or have busy schedules.
Exactly.
And it's not just about convenience.
AI can actually help personalize those responses based on a student's specific circumstances and past interactions.
It's about creating a more tailored and supportive experience.
It's like having a virtual assistant who's dedicated to helping you navigate the often overwhelming world of college finances.
Precisely.
And there's another really important area where AI is playing a crucial role.
Fraud detection.
That makes sense. With so much money changing hands online.
Security has to be a top priority.
Absolutely.
And AI is particularly good at analyzing massive amounts of data to identify patterns and flag potentially fraudulent transactions in real time.
Much faster and more accurately than a human could.
It's like having a digital detective on the case.
Constantly monitoring for any suspicious activity.
That's a great way to put it.
And the exciting thing is that these are just a few examples of how AI is being used right now.
It sounds like we're just scratching the surface of what AI can do in education. What other possibilities are on the horizon?
Imagine a future where AI can personalize financial aid packages based on a student's individual needs and circumstances.
Or AI that can help universities predict enrollment trends and make more informed budget decisions.
We're even talking about AI tools that can help students manage student loan debt more effectively.
Wow, that's pretty mind-blowing. It's not just about simplifying processes.
It's about using technology to make education more accessible and affordable for everyone. It's about leveraging the power of technology to level the playing field and create a more equitable education system.
And companies like Flywire are leading the charge, pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
It's pretty inspiring to think about how far we've come from those days of dial-up modems and paper checks.
Mm-hmm.
What stands out to you about this evolution of educational payments?
What's fascinating to me is the shift from a purely transactional approach to one that's more student-centric.
It's not just about collecting money anymore.
It's about creating a positive and empowering experience for students and families throughout their entire financial journey in higher education.
It's like they're taking something that used to be a source of stress and confusion and turning it into this seamless part of the overall college experience.
Exactly.
And it makes you wonder, like, what other aspects of education could benefit from this kind of innovative thinking?
Well, David did say that Flywire's goal is to, like, smooth the path for students from enrollment to endowment.
And that got me thinking.
Yeah.
If you could wave a magic wand
and revolutionize any other part of the student life cycle with technology,
what would it be?
That's a great question.
There are so many possibilities.
One area that comes to mind is the whole process of academic advising.
Oh, interesting.
You mean how students figure out their majors?
Choose classes.
Mm-hmm.
Plan their academic paths.
Exactly.
Right now, it can be a bit of a hit or miss system.
Some students get lucky and find amazing advisors who really guide them.
While others struggle to get the support they need.
And I imagine it's even more challenging for first-generation college students.
Or those who come from backgrounds where they might not have someone to turn to for that kind of guidance.
Absolutely.
So imagine if AI could be used to create personalized academic roadmaps for students based on their interests, strengths, and career goals.
Like a GPS for your college career.
Guiding you towards the most fulfilling.
Exactly.
AI could analyze data from thousands of students' academic journeys.
Identifying patterns and suggesting courses, majors, and even extracurricular activities that align with the student's aspirations.
It would be like having a personalized academic advisor.
Available to you 24/7.
Right.
Someone who knows your goals.
And can help you navigate those crucial decisions.
And it wouldn't just be about suggesting courses.
It could also connect students with mentors in their fields of interest, alert them to relevant internships or research opportunities.
And even provide personalized feedback on their academic progress.
It would be like having a whole team of support.
All powered by technology.
Right.
To help students make the most of their college experience.
And imagine the impact this could have on student success rates.
Especially for students who might not have a strong support system outside of school.
It's really exciting to think about how technology can not only simplify processes,
but actually level the playing field and create a more equitable and supportive learning environment.
Exactly.
And that's ultimately what it's all about, using innovation to empower students and help them reach their full potential.
Well, on that inspiring note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into the world of education payments.
And the incredible impact companies like Flywire are having.
It's been a fascinating journey from those clunky IVR systems to the AI-powered platforms of the future.
Yeah, who knows what other exciting innovations await us down the road.
But one thing's for sure, the future of education is intertwined with the evolution of technology.
And it's up to us to harness that power to create a brighter future for all learners.
I couldn't agree more.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to delve into these important topics.
Thanks for joining us. And to all our listeners out there, keep those questions coming and keep exploring new ideas. Until next time, happy learning.
I hope you enjoyed the interview and the AI audio overview. So until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of any other institution or company.